this may be all me, that I'm the one who needs it, but it's been a long time since I have preached anything that I feel is more needed and something that we need to understand than what's going to be presented this morning. And again, that may be just me. Let me ask you to look with me to Genesis chapter 3. And I want to read the first 6 verses. And that's going to mark the basis of our study as we're going to take up residence in Genesis 3. We are in the midst of a series entitled "The Devil Is Not Your Friend." And this morning we're going to take a look at some great insight. Genesis chapter 3, that's page 3, beginning with the first word in the first verse. And I'm reading from the English Standard Version. "Now the serpent was more crafty than any other beast of the field that the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, 'Did God actually say, you shall not eat of any tree in the garden?' And the woman said to the serpent, 'We may eat of the fruit of the trees in the garden. But God said, you shall not eat of the fruit of the tree that is in the midst, the middle of the garden. Neither shall you touch it, lest you die.'" Verse 4. "The serpent said to the woman, 'You will not surely die. For God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be open and you'll be like God, knowing good from evil.'" Verse 6. "So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was a delight to the eyes and that the tree was to be desired to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. And she also gave to her husband who was with her, and he ate." Now, I want you to picture this. A man is entering into the Texas State Penitentiary. When he walks in, the iron doors close behind him. He walks down this long corridor, and it is here where he will stay, and he will stay for the next 20 years for the crime of attempted rape. This man is a Christian. This man graduated from one of our Christian colleges. This man was a preacher who served well in 2 congregations. And at his sentencing, there were a line of people who spoke on his behalf. There were those who told the judge that it was Him who had brought them to the Lord, and that through that He had completely changed their lives. There were married couples who stood up together who said that this man had helped them through problems of their marriage and had kept their marriage together. There were parents who stood and told that judge that this man had counseled with our son or our daughter and had helped them. This was a man who had made an imprint with individuals, with families, with congregations, with communities, and now this man is in the state penitentiary in Texas. What happens? What happens in a person to cause them to want to do something like this? What is it that goes on in the mind of an individual to where they are willing to pay such a high price for sin? But understand this morning that all of these questions are not just questions that are being addressed to a former preacher who's in a Texas state penitentiary, but these are questions that I now address to all of us. What happens in us that causes us to sometimes do the things that we do? What is it that goes on in our minds to where we're willing to pay such a high price for sin? This isn't about just one man who went astray. This is about all of us who've gone astray in some form. Our passage of entrance, Genesis 3, goes way, way back to the ancient past. Are you listening? But the pattern that the devil uses here in order to seduce Eve away from God is exactly the same pattern that the devil used yesterday, that the devil will use today, and that the devil will use tomorrow to seduce us away from God. This passage, this just isn't a passage about Eve and Adam and the devil and temptation. It's not. This is a passage about Eve and Adam and the devil and temptation and you and I. the scenery changes. The names are different. The places it happens are different. But the methodology that's laid down here in Genesis 3 is exactly the same in Detroit as it was in Eden's garden. This methodology, this pattern is exactly the same. It never, ever deviates from what is right here. The names are different, but the rest of it is the same. Do you understand me, church? So I want us to give ourselves this morning to understanding this pattern. A careful study of this ancient passage brings to light a methodology that was used by the devil that is still exactly the same today. And I want you to notice three things about this pattern. Now, if it was me, I might write these three things down, take them home, and put them on my refrigerator, put them on my dresser, or someplace, somewhere, where every day before I head out in the world, I am reminded that the devil is not my friend. Notice, first of all, in the pattern, the devil always disguises. Are you listening? Every time, all the time, without fail, the devil always disguises. Now listen carefully, there are actually two things that he always disguises. Number one, he disguises himself. Now I want you to take a look at the first part of verse 1. Look at the first part of verse 1. There are several terms we're going to note. Let's just read first. Now, the serpent was more crafty than any of the beasts of the field that the Lord God had made. Do you see that? Now, I want you to notice something. First of all, I want you to notice the word crafty. It may be another word used in your translation, but I want you to take note of that word. That word means shrewd. If I wrote in my Bible, I'd write this word down. This word can be in a positive or a negative connotation. It's in a negative connotation here. What that word means is smoothness. Smoothness. Did you hear me? Notice another expression here. The word serpent. Now follow me carefully. The serpent here in chapter 3 and verse 1. This is not some mythological god that the devil is using. This is not some differently created serpent that the devil is using. Look carefully. Look carefully there in verse 1. This was a serpent whom the Lord God had made. Do you see that? This was just a serpent among the serpents of the earth. Now here it is. This is the creature that the devil used to disguise himself. Did you hear me? The devil used this serpent to disguise himself to Eve. The devil always disguises, and one thing he always disguises is that he always disguises himself. Are you with me so far? Now stay right here. Here's the objection. People say, look, it's a serpent. Eve should have known better. It is a snake. Are you listening? People who say that don't understand what's going on here. Chapter 3 and verse 1. This is before the curse. Did you hear me? After sin, there's a curse. Drop down to verse 14 of the same chapter. God places a curse in verse 14 on the serpent. God said, you'll crawl on your belly and you'll eat dust from here on out. But the curse doesn't come until verse 14. Are you still with me? Here's what I'm telling you. I'm telling you in verse 1, when this serpent approached Eve, there was no alarms that would have went off in Eve's head that I am in any kind of danger by this creature. Did you hear what I just said? The devil always disguises. And the devil always disguises himself. Now, today, the devil sends his army of demons to tempt you and me. Do you understand that? Nobody understands that. The devil sends his army of demons in order to seduce us away from God. And here is the one thing you can always count on that, and that is they will always, always disguise themselves when they approach. When temptation comes to us, sirens do not start blaring. Flags don't start waving, and the voice of the Almighty doesn't cry out, look out, warning, there is danger here. But I'm telling you, when you are tempted, when I am tempted, and when the devil sends the demons to seduce us, they will always be disguised. What you see is not what you're going to get. Now, brother, temptation will always be disguised. Brother, it may be disguised in a tight skirt. Sister, it may be disguised
in a male who puts his arm around you and tells you that he has a listening ear, and the last thing he's got is a listening ear. Temptation may be disguised in a bottle. Temptation may be disguised in a website you got no business being on. The methodology of the devil is that the devil will always disguise. And the first thing he disguises is that he disguises himself. The second thing he disguises always is that the devil will always disguise his purpose. His purpose. Now I want you to see this in Genesis 3. The devil doesn't come to Eve and say, hey, come here. I am here to tempt you. That's not what he said. Are you listening? The devil didn't say, hey, sister, I got to be talking to you. Ain't nobody else here. Listen. Give me a half hour. I'll damn your soul to hell forever. That's not what he said. That's what he wanted. That was his purpose. But that's not what he said. Do you know what he said? Do you know the first thing out of his mouth? He look to Eve, and the devil had a discussion about God. Look at verse 1, the end of it. First thing out of his mouth, did God. The devil always wants to talk about theology. He is a religious devil. Did you hear me? He is a religious devil. He will always describe himself, but he will always disguise himself, and he will always disguise what his purpose is. But let me tell you something about his theology. It is a devilish theology. The devil wanted to talk to Eve about God in the garden, and the devil still wants to talk to folks today about God and theology, but it's devilish theology that he wants to talk about. So in Revelation chapter 2 and 3, there are seven letters written to congregations of the Lord's church in the area of Asia Minor. The first one is written to church in the city of Ephesus. The strength, are you listening? The strength of the church at Ephesus was their soundness in doctrine. That's a good thing, brethren. Here is a church that met every first day of the week. Here is a church that listened to the preaching of the Word. Here is a church that sang and prayed and partook of the Lord's Supper and gave. Here is a church that did exactly everything that it should have done. Here is a church that was as straight as a gun barrel doctrinally, but as dead as a doornail spiritually. So in verse 4, Jesus said to this church,
I have this against you. You have lost your first love. First love is the love we have at first for the Lord. Remember that commitment? But what had happened is that the devil had convinced them with his devilish theology. The devil had convinced the people of God in the church at Ephesus, as long as you show up for worship and as long as you do the right thing, your heart doesn't really have to come with you. The last letter in Revelation 3 is the letter to the church at Laodicea. They had become indifferent and apathetic. How does a people of God become apathetic toward God? It's because of the devil, brethren. The devil had convinced them that apathy and lukewarmness was an attitude that God would accept among His people. Brethren, the devil doesn't want to enhance your life. Do you understand that? He doesn't want to enhance your marriage. He doesn't want to enhance your children. The devil wants to destroy you in this world and the world to come. And may God wake us up that the devil always will disguise. He will disguise himself and he will disguise his purpose. And therefore, we need to live with an awareness and an alertness that the devil is not our friend. Note a second thing in the methodology of the devil. Not only does he always, always disguise himself, but secondly, the devil will always attack God. Now listen to me, watch this, because he disguises this as well. The devil doesn't disguise, the devil doesn't attack God by saying to Eve, listen, there is no devil. Eve knew better, that there is no God. Eve knew better than that. And the devil isn't going to tell you and I that there is no God. You and I know better than to believe that all of this happened because something blew up in the eons ago. But here's how he attacks God. The devil will always attack God by attacking His Word. And that's what he does to Eve. The devil says to Eve, did God actually say not to eat the fruit? Eve then tells the devil exactly what God said. God said we can eat of the fruit in the garden of every tree, except there's one tree right in the middle of the garden. God says that we cannot eat it, and if we eat it, we will die. And the devil says, you will die. You'll die. Now give me liberty right here. You're going to die if you eat this? The devil says, look, Eve, is God good? And Eve said, all the time. God, the devil says to Eve, Eve, does God love you? Well, yeah. Sure. Well, if God is good
And if God loves you, where's all this dying coming from? Are you listening? How easy it is for you and I to fall into this very same temptation, that what God has made perfectly and precisely clear in His Word is not what He really means. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and its righteousness, and the devil says to you, first, you got a job. You got a family. You have responsibilities here. If you want to go to church when you can, that's fine. You want to pray before you eat, that's fine. But first, really? Forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. Forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. Forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. And the devil says, look, if you want to go to church, that's fine. But you really think God wants you running down there every week? How easy is it for us to fall into this exact same temptation where the devil attacks God by attacking what God said and seducing us into believing that's what it says, but that's not really what it means. If it doesn't mean what it says, how does anybody know what any of it means? Amen. The devil will always disguise. And as long as you keep looking for somebody with horns and a tail and a pitchfork, you're not going to find them. He will always disguise himself, and he will always disguise the purpose for which he has come. The second thing he will always do, he will always attack God. But he will do it in a backhanded way. If the devil can get you not to believe this book, then he's got you not to believe God. Number three, and this is very crucial and we're done. Number three. The devil will always try to get you to question and to doubt what you already believe. Did you hear me? He's always going to try to get you to doubt and to question what you already believe. Look at the end of verse 1 there. Look at verse 1. The devil says to Eve, did God actually say? Do you see that? Did God actually say? What is the devil trying to do? The devil is trying to cast doubt into the mind of Eve that she will question what she already knows God said to her. Look at verse 4. The devil says to Eve, you will not surely die. What is he doing? He's trying to get her to question. He's trying to get her to doubt what God has said to her and what she knows is the truth. This whole thing happens because Eve allowed the devil to cause her to doubt what she already knew was the gospel truth about what God said. Now, brethren, here is the pattern. Here is the pattern. The devil will get you to question or to doubt God's word. So now, Eve is standing there thinking, well, maybe that's not what he did actually say. So now, she doubts. Now, she's not sure. So now, she stands there in front of that tree, and she looks at it, and she's thinking. And instead of walking away and getting her mind somewhere else, she just stands there and she looks at it and she's thinking. Then she does this deal. And she handles the fruit. She then partakes of the fruit. And then she shares that fruit with Adam. And the whole thing starts. All of it started when she began to question what she knew God had told her. Now take this home with you. Take this home with you. The devil said, did God actually say not to do this? Eve told him exactly what God said. God said we can eat what we want except for that one tree. And the devil says you will not die if you eat that. And here's what the devil says. The devil says then, the devil says now, look, it's just a piece of fruit. It's a piece of fruit. Because you eat a piece of fruit, that's a sin? You mean if you eat that fruit, God is going to curse the whole earth? It's just fruit, brethren. It's not fruit. The issue was not and never will be fruit. The issue is disobedience to God. The issue is sin. The issue is you transgress God's law. When God says don't do it, then you had better back off from it. And if you do not back off, that's sin. That's sin. But the devil, I said the devil, is a master at getting us to take our focus off what the real issue is and to put our focus somewhere else. So here's what he always, always does. The devil always, look over here, the devil always disguises. The devil always attacks
God. The devil will always try to get you to question and to doubt what you know in your mind is already the truth. But the one thing the devil will never, ever do is the devil will never, ever talk to anybody about consequences. Actions have consequences. The consequences for Adam and Eve is they were expelled from the garden. The consequences for their foolishness was a curse. Adam will toil. Eve will give birth in pain. The serpent, the world, was cursed. Actions have consequences. When you and I sin, we break our relationship with God. Did you hear me? We break our relationship with God. But the coming and the sacrifice of Jesus restored that relationship. But the devil will do all he can to take your focus off of that and to put it somewhere else. It's only a drink. It's only one night. It's only I'll be back. It's only this, it's only that. But there are consequences. There are consequences, brethren. So as you and I live our lives, we must live with an awareness that the devil will send his army, but what you see won't be what you get. And what they promise won't be what you get either. And the more you get of what they got, the less you want to have what they're giving. He will attack God through His Word. Well, that's what He says, but we can't be sure. And then He will get you to question and to doubt. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. A child can understand it, but we got grown folk who doubt it. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, by the authority of Jesus Christ, in order to obtain the remission of your sin. Well, I got questions. No, you don't. What you have is a lack of faith. So this morning, I call all of us to live with an awareness and a soberness of the enemy. This morning, if you're here and if you are away from God, the devil is a liar and you need to stop listening. And if you're away, you need to come back. And you need to do that right now as together we stand and as we sing.